Where is Jesus calling you? To what person has Jesus wanted you to go and you haven't gone? What open door of opportunity has Jesus opened for you and you're still behind the other door and it's locked shut because you're too afraid?
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's Word. In this episode, we talk about risk. Does it ever feel like following Jesus is risky for you? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren, showing us that Jesus calls us to trust him. Thanks for listening.
We begin with this gospel reading from John chapter 21. Says this, beginning at verse 1. Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I am going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples asked him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So fishing is risky business. Kids, how many times, or has this ever happened to you? Kids, you've gone fishing and caught absolutely nothing? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah. Or dads, you go fishing and the kids end up catching you, you know, with a hook in your thumb or a hook in the back of your head. There's probably some of us here today who have gone deep sea fishing, gotten a little green and sick as a result, or been out fishing and been caught in a storm. Fishing is risky business. I remember as a kid at my grandpa and grandma's lake cabin, and they had a short pier going out into the lake, and I'd stand at the edge of that pier, and like any eight-year-old, and I'd fish. And one time, as a little kid, I caught this ugly-looking fish. They called it a dogfish. There's probably other names. So similar to a catfish and a mix between a catfish and a carp and any other ugly type. It was just like prehistoric looking. But it was big. It took everything I had to haul this thing in, and it was just gross and ugly looking, kind of looked like an eel. I was so scared of that prehistoric looking fish that when we went swimming at this area over here next to the pier, I never went out past the edge of the pier because I was so deathly afraid of that, of a fish like that coming and eating me in the lake. And so it kept me back. Fishing is risky business. Do you know what the most common, normal way is that people deal with risk? We just avoid it. We just don't do it. So, let's begin with this story from John chapter 21. Verse 14 informs us, this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So there's a couple things that make this appearance of Jesus, this third one, there's a couple things that make it different than the first two. First of all, the where. Right? This is in the Sea of Galilee, which is 70 miles north of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is where Jesus suffered and died. It's where he rose from the dead. It's where he appeared to the women at the tomb and told them, I'm alive. Go tell my disciples that I'm alive and they should meet me in Galilee. And then the first two appearances of Jesus to his disciples are where? In Jerusalem. And his disciples are where in Jerusalem? If you're Bible readers, see, this is why you want to be a Bible reader. This, but reading your Bible helps you connect the dots in these stories. So we're connecting the dots now. Where were Jesus' disciples the first two times he appeared to them? They were locked behind closed doors in an upper room in Jerusalem because being out and about was too risky. They had to play it safe. Jesus said to meet them in Galilee, but they were too scared. Their fear was paralyzing them, so they're in this upper room locked behind closed doors, and Jesus, who rose from the dead and passed through the tomb because he's God, passed through the closed doors, the locked doors, and appeared to his disciples. So that's the where. That's what makes this third appearance different. Also, the what makes this appearance different. So here's the what. In one of those first two appearances in Jerusalem, Jesus used fish. You remember what he did with it? Bible readers, you know this? He ate it. Why did he eat the fish? Because he had something to prove about himself, that he was alive, that he was bodily risen from the dead and alive, and that he had conquered death. And so he ate a piece of fish, and it just didn't fall to the ground because it went through. He ate it. He kept it in his stomach. He was bodily alive. In this third appearance, he uses fish also, not to prove something about himself, but to prove to the disciples something about them, that they also were alive, that hope was not dead, that their Savior and Master and Lord was not gone, that there were things to do, that there's a mission to go on, that Jesus was alive, that their hearts are alive, and Jesus has things for them to do, and so now here they are in Galilee. But I tell you what, they're discovering now in Galilee as they're going fishing that fishing is risky business. That fishing is not necessarily safe. They've been out with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee before. And what most, if not all, the accounts of Jesus with the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, what happens? There's a storm. See, they understand this is not safe. And that's all right. I want to read you something about not being safe. It's from C.S. Lewis's classic, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And so this is where the three kids discover Narnia, and it's a whole epic story that reflects this analogy of the story of redemption, the story of our salvation. And so in this scene, the two girls, the two sisters, Susan and Lucy, are in this fantasy world in Narnia, and they're meeting up with Mr. and Mrs. Beaver. These talking beavers, the animals. And they're asking a question about the whole hero of the entire story, who is Aslan. And Aslan is a lion, and he represents in the story Jesus Christ. But the kids don't know that yet. They've just heard about Aslan, and so here's the conversation, and it reveals something about what Jesus is up to with the disciples here and with us. So Susan and Lucy ask if Aslan is a man, and Mr. Beaver replies, Aslan a man? Certainly not. I tell you, he is the king of the woods and the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. Don't you know who is the king of beasts? Aslan is a lion. the lion, the great lion. Ooh, said Susan. I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. That you will, dearie, and make no mistake, said Mrs. Beaver. If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or else just silly. Then he isn't safe? Asked Lucy. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about being safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. Jesus, as the Lamb of God, died on the cross. And his death made the payment for all of your sins and for the sins of the whole world. You're forgiven. He did that as the Lamb. 3 days later, he rose from the dead as the victorious Lamb, but we would really refer to him as the Lion. As a ferocious lion, he left the tomb now to, as victorious, do battle against your spiritual enemies, sin and death and the devil. Yes, you're victorious with Jesus, but the battle goes on. Sin is still on this planet, and it rages against your inner being and your soul and your thoughts and your feelings and your behavior. The devil is not giving up. He's like a nasty dog on a chain, and he's gnarling, and he wants your soul. There is a battle going on right now, and Jesus says, follow me. So we're following this lion. What does that look like? Well, it's risky business. It doesn't always feel safe. So if you want to follow Jesus, it's going to mean that you need to think differently. You need to think differently about yourself. You need to think differently, not naturally, that's what I'm saying. Differently than what naturally comes, you need to think differently. You need to understand that all of your thoughts, your natural thoughts, are not safe. And you need to discern which are the good ones and which are the wrong ones. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to need to care for people that you don't want to care for. And you're going to need to reach people that you don't want to reach. Why? Because Jesus cares about them. And Jesus gives you the job of reaching them. If you want to follow Jesus, you're going to have to be willing to be uncomfortable with change in your own heart and in how you live. If you want to follow Jesus, you're going to have to be willing to lay down your own priorities and plans that should submit to his bigger, better ones. If you want to follow Jesus, you're going to have to surrender your wallet. If you want to follow Jesus, you're going to have to be willing to be uncomfortable, to not be safe, to maybe even upset some people in your family, your neighbors, your friends, your boss, your teacher, your coach. If you're going to follow Jesus, that's going fishing. That's leaving the harbor, leaving the safe place, and taking risks for Jesus, but you're following the lion. Some of these components here were from, I went to a conference and heard a preacher called, the name is Perry Noble, and he had a presentation called God is Not Safe, and there's some really good pieces of it, so I'm reflecting some of his words here. I want to read part of that now, and kids, I want you to help me. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to have in our minds the disciples, and then they're hunkered down behind closed doors in Jerusalem, not in Galilee, in the earlier appearances, and the doors are locked and latched, and their fears are paralyzing them, and they're not going fishing at this point. They're not leaving the harbor. They're not swimming past the pier. And I'm going to parallel that to some things that Christians don't do either. And then I'm going to say what happens, and I'm going to ask the question, why? And kids, I need your help here. When I ask why, you say, It might not be safe. So let's practice. Why? It might not be safe. Why? Kind of a little more excitement, there, you know, would be all right. All right, you kind of take the risk here, right? We're not being safe. So why? All right, here we go. So some Christians don't serve. Why? Some Christians don't dream big. Why? Some Christians don't share their faith. Why? Some Christians don't take a stand. Why? Some Christians give conveniently, not sacrificially. Why? Some Christians don't break bad habits. Why? Some Christians don't take spiritual next steps in a church. Why? Some Christians don't build relationships that are hard. Why? Thank you, kids. Now I'm making a mess because I'm going to say this next thing. We need to be careful about being too careful. And parents, you're going to have to explain that to your kids now, later today and this week, because you teach safety to your kids all the time. And we practice safety in our world. I was practicing safety as a kid when I wasn't swimming past the end of the pier. But I had every right to swim past the end of the pier. I was just paralyzed by my fear of the big, ugly, monstrous fish. See that? So we need to be careful about being careful in the name of Jesus and taking so much precaution that we lock ourselves in a room and we don't take risks and we don't practice faith and we don't think big for Jesus and we don't follow Jesus to the horizon, but we plant our feet where we are, and then we have the audacity to say that that's the mission. That's when it's not. And sometimes playing it safe has a lot less to do with Jesus and a lot more to do with us. We want to keep our fingers on the controls. We want things to go our way and aren't willing to take what we know could be a dangerous risk. And then we even say, and this is Jesus' mission. And it's not Jesus' mission, it's ours. And we just say it's his. Meanwhile, his mission is out there. His mission is over there. His mission for you is that person. And you're standing there. We need to be careful about being too careful. It might not be safe. So back to Galilee. This is the good news. Jesus' efforts to his disciples, those first couple of appearances in Jerusalem, those loving efforts of Jesus now bear fruit. Now we see these men of Jesus, these friends of Jesus, these men of God. They're in Galilee where Jesus said they should be. And not only are they in Galilee, but they're doing what they love and what they love doing with Jesus, and they're fishing. And they're out there with faith. They're believing in Jesus' promises. They've left the latched doors behind. They've left the safe scene of Jerusalem, and they're out and about, and they're in Galilee. And they fish. And they fish all night as they try to move forward. Jesus had died. They're fishing. And they catch nothing. Ah, see, skeptics will say, see, they should have stayed in the harbor. They shouldn't have gone fishing after all, because they catch nothing. You see, Jesus makes all these promises, and he doesn't come through. That's what skeptics will say, skeptics who quit too soon. And the disciples didn't. What did it say? They fished. How long did they fish? For half an hour? For 3 hours, they fished all night. They stayed at it, and 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 they caught nothing. Exactly. And then they hear this voice on the beach. Jesus, throw your net on the right side of the boat. They're thinking, I don't know who this dude is on the beach. He must know something about fishing. We don't really know what was in their minds at that point in time. Maybe they were starting to put the pieces together. This is Jesus. It doesn't seem like too much at this point. And fishermen don't kindly take advice often from others, but they were a bit desperate, maybe hungry, and why not give it a shot? They throw the nets on the other side, and it's this amazing catch of fish. The nets are full, and then the dots start to connect. Then it's John who says, "It is the Lord." And that's where the story explodes. Peter jumps into the water, swims to shore. The disciples connect the dots. And here's one way they connect the dots. Again, this is where Bible reading is helpful for you. Do you remember a scene like this? Do you remember another miraculous catch of fish in the Gospels? Here at the end of his ministry on this earth, Jesus is performing a miracle where there's all kinds of fish and he's giving them to his disciples, and it mirrors a miraculous catch of fish that he made at the beginning of his ministry when he called his disciples to follow him. And that's when he made that statement, I will make you fishers of men. See, so these disciples who were there at that scene are now putting the pieces together and saying, this is the same. This has to be Jesus. And it was. They were no longer afraid. They knew that it was Jesus and he was calling them again. As he had called them earlier in his ministry, he was calling them now with new life and new hope. Sins forgiven, Jesus alive, a new mission, a second chance, so to speak, for his disciples. Jesus is not dead, Jesus is not scared, Jesus is not afraid, and his disciples aren't either. It is the Lord. And then they make it to shore. So let me ask just a very practical question here. Just pause button, and for the disciples, and put yourself here. Where is Jesus calling you? To what person has Jesus wanted you to go, and you haven't gone? What open door of opportunity has Jesus opened for you, and you're still behind the other door and it's locked shut because you're too afraid? Where has Jesus wanted your steps to go? How has Jesus wanted you to improve and develop as a person? Any of those things for you personally, what does this mean? And you haven't gone there because you're afraid. Jesus says, I'm not afraid. I am risen from the dead. I have all power over whatever you're scared of. I have power over it, and I'm calling you to it. Let's go. And you can say, when it comes to that, you can find Jesus, you can hear his voice in Scripture, and he's calling you, and you can say, like the disciples said, oh, it is the Lord. When you have no gas in the tank, no energy left in mind or body or soul to care for that person that has needed your care. To be nice to the person who's always been nasty to you. To say good things about a dysfunctional place at work. And you just don't know if you can do it anymore. But there's part of you in your heart that's saying, you need to do this. Is the Lord. And he's standing on the shore and he's saying, you don't have any fish, do you? But I got some for you. Can you take that next step? Can you throw the net on the other side of the boat? Can you trust me? I'm your risen Savior. And we follow him there. On the shore, Jesus said this, John 21, verse 10. Bring some of the fish you have just caught. He's tells his disciples this. So Peter goes to the boat and he brings some fish up to the shore, and Jesus says, come and have breakfast. Did you hear that? Let me say that again, what Jesus said. To his disciples, after he had just performed this miracle, Jesus says, bring some of the fish. Who caught the fish? Jesus says, you have just caught. Really? Who is the one who knew that the fish existed on the right side of the boat but not the left side of the boat? The disciples? Jesus. Who is the one who created those fish and perhaps in a miraculous way gathered them all there so the disciples could net them in? Jesus. Jesus says to his disciples, you caught these fish. See how Jesus, when you follow him, when you are willing to take risks and go fishing, which is risky business, he gives the disciples credit for Jesus' own work. Jesus partners with you in his mission for you, in his calling for you to move forward. And so when Jesus asks something of you that you think you don't have, you will find it by faith. Because Jesus never asks anything of you that you cannot do with his help. Throw the nets on the right side. Jesus knew it would work because he put the fish there. So when Jesus calls you, wherever you determine Jesus is calling you and giving you opportunity and wants you to serve, and you don't think you can do it, by faith, you have what he needs you to have, and by faith you can do it as Jesus calls. That fishing pier that I told you about earlier that I would stand on, and I caught that big, ugly, historic, prehistoric-looking fish, that belonged to my grandpa and my grandma, and my grandfather was a fisherman. And I have very good memories of spending time at his lake cabin and staying there. My family would go there and visit. And some of the most special moments were when my grandpa would take me early morning bass fishing. It was, he didn't invite anyone else. He invited me. I felt very special. And we'd get up very, very, very early in the morning. It felt very early, 5 o'clock or something before the sun was up. And it was dark, and I was sleepy-eyed, and he would have everything prepared. He'd have all the tackle boxes and the gas in the boat and everything. Even on cold mornings, he'd have a blanket for me. And those are some of the most special memories I have of being out on the lake with my grandpa as the sun is rising over the water, reflecting off the water. And sometimes we're catching a lot of bass, and sometimes we're not. It didn't matter because I was with him. He led the way. He made it happen. It wouldn't have happened if I had stayed under the comfortable covers, if I had not gotten out of bed and stayed nice and warm and cozy under the covers. Those memories would not exist right now. I want you to think of Jesus and his tomb. And I want you to visualize the tomb and that big stone, that disc in front of the tomb that the angel had rolled away, the Bible says. Why did the angel need to roll that stone away from the tomb? Was it to let Jesus out? No, Jesus was already gone. The reason that the angel rolled the stone away was to let the women and the disciples in. It was to let them see that the tomb didn't have Jesus in it, that the tomb was empty. So I want you to visualize yourself right now walking into that tomb of Jesus, seeing it empty, and realizing that the Jesus was there, but he's not anymore. He became alive. Jesus rose from the dead. And then what did he do? He didn't stay there. He didn't say, oh, it's a bit safe in here. I think I might just stay in the tomb. He walked out. He took next steps. Jesus left the tomb because he had things to do, including taking you on a mission. So what's out there? As you sit in the tomb of Jesus and the stone is rolled away and the sun is rising over the horizon, what does Jesus have out there for you? What has he brought to mind during this message that you're thinking, I know I need to do this and I haven't done it yet, I know he's calling me there. What is it out there? He's already there. He's risen from the dead. He's like to his disciples. He gave them another chance. He's forgiven you for all the times that you've hunkered down and not gone fishing, not left. And he's leading the way. He's calling you to go fishing. And fishing is risky business. It's not safe. But when you go fishing with Jesus, it's good. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord Jesus, what a powerful, wonderful story we heard today. An event that truly happened years ago as you miraculously caused fish to be in those nets of your disciples. And as they caught fish, you were catching them. Jesus, we pray that you would guard our hearts from the temptation to be too safe, not for your good, but for ours, to hunker down, to not take risks for you, to pray too simply and too small, to stay in a corner of the world that doesn't include people that you want us to meet, to miss out on opportunities because we're not taking next steps. Jesus, forgive us, guard our hearts from that sin and that temptation, and give us the courage of faith like you gave your disciples to move forward. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your encouragement, and your guidance today. We look to you as our Savior, who we know isn't safe because we're fighting a battle. But help us to remember and always believe that you, Jesus, are good. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.